This morning, our scripture lesson and text revolves around the story and narrative of Joseph. Joseph, as you know, is very extensive in Genesis. In fact, his narrative goes on for 13 chapters, beginning at chapter 37 and finishing the rest of the book of Genesis. I want to use as a supporting text Genesis, the 45th chapter. But I want to highlight many of the things, the problems, and the successes of Joseph throughout those 13 chapters. This morning, it is an impactful word and something that speaks to me very personally. I pray that it will be the same for you. Would you turn with me, Ebenezer, this morning to Genesis 45? We'll begin at verse 1. The words will be on the screen. Hear this from the New International Version. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one who sold you into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you, for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it is not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." Go back to verse 4. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt." Now go back to verse 8. "So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt." The word of our God. It will work out. It will work out. It will work out. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you this morning for the opportunity to preach your word. Speak through me, O God. Let my words be clear. Let your heart show through me. Allow your people and your children to be changed. And Lord, we ask that we would all be encouraged from this pulpit as we leave this place to share your word and gospel with the world. Through Christ and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. Verse 1, then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence," so that there was no one before Joseph when he did this crying. And verse 2 says, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Can you imagine staring hurt in the face? Can you imagine staring abuse and name calling in the face? Could you stomach looking at false accusers in their eye? Now imagine You are in a public place. People are watching. And the emotions that you have been burying and trying to hide for your entire adult life is now public. I know I'm not going to get many amens this morning, but I can see the look on your faces as if though you understand what this means and how this feels, how it feels to look something that has been so catastrophic in your life in the face. Hurt in the face. People who have hurt you in the face. And I understand that sometimes this emotion is too much to bear. Have you ever been there? Just shake your heads at me. Now, what is the cause of Joseph's reaction? You only really need to know two words to really get to the root of the issue. I want to talk about Joseph's past to help us understand how this all works out. But if I was not able to tell you the Cliff Note version or summarized version of Joseph's issue, there is only two words you need to know to help you understand his tears in verse 1. Are you ready for it? Family drama. You understand that phrase, right? There is not one person or in person or online that does not know about family drama. Come on, be real with me this morning. Many of you understand that some of life's hardest issues come from people in your own house. If it's not your mama, it's your daddy. If it ain't your daddy, it's your brother who acts like your daddy. And if it's not your brother who acts like your daddy, it can be your sister. And if it's your sister, sometimes you realize she can't get right. She never been right. She's on drugs. She talks out the side of her mouth. Sometimes family issues and family drama is the worst drama to have. And if it's not the family in your own house, it's your cousins. Lord help us. If it's not your cousins, it's the grandparents. It's the parents of parents. It's the great uncles and great aunts. And if it's not them, it's somebody's kids acting up. Somebody's kids you gotta keep. And then they can't get right. They talk back. They act funny around you. You understand sometimes life's biggest dramas is the family drama. Family drama can be the one thing that breaks you. Sometimes family drama is the one thing that pushes you over the edge. You can handle everything else. You can handle disappointment. You can handle bad bosses. You can handle messy coworkers. You can handle side affairs and one-sided relationships. But family drama can hurt you in places you did not know you had feelings. Family drama will have you reading all of the lament psalms. This morning, if you are like me, this story hits close to home. Reading about Joseph's reaction makes me emotional. His reaction. The empathic, sympathetic person in Torrance feels the hurt here. When I read the text, I get emotional. Just by knowing his history, but the sheer fact that not one time in Joseph's story, remember I told you his story stretches these 13 chapters, not one time does Joseph shed tears. Not one time does the author paint a picture of Joseph bowing down, weeping. Not one time out of all the things that he's been through, not one time does Joseph get emotional. It is only when he is faced hurt in the face, faced with hurt in the face, faced with his brothers, his family in the face. And I know what it means to stand in places of prominence and things back home aren't well. I know how that feels. I know the type of hurt that stirs up when you look into the eyes of family members that have turned their back on you. And here's the thing. I know you look good. I know you are the VP or the director at your job. I know you have an A-type personality. You are detailed and thorough. You make and follow the itinerary without exception. You have all the I's dotted and all the T's in your life's cross. I know Ebenezer people. And I understand that we seemingly have it all together. But everybody has a past. And when it comes creeping back up, you are like Joseph. You cry out. Moreover, you understand exactly how all of this will work out with your eyes filled with tears. You know, Ebenezer, I have sat and counseled very influential people in their lives. They have been directors and co-directors, presidents and CEOs. I've been able to have good conversations, even with people who are my age that are doing extremely well. And some of these people are some of the strongest people amongst us. They are mentally superior, physically virile and tough, personalities on point. But even they sent people away so that they can cry. What do you do when you stare hurt in the face? Go back to verse 1 of Genesis, the 45th chapter. You will notice something in verse 1, a nicety, if you will, that when it's talking about the account of Joseph, there's something that the Bible doesn't really say in this chapter. The Bible says that Joseph made himself known to his who? His who? It says Joseph made himself known to his brothers. You know the story of Joseph, right? Not all of Joseph's brothers are his full brothers. Some of his brothers are his half brothers. Can I let y'all know the family tea? Can I drop some mess about Joseph? Let's go back those 13 chapters, even before that. Let's talk about these half-brothers of Joseph, his step-brothers. The Bible doesn't distinguish here Joseph's brothers from his half-brothers, but I want you to know that there's only one brother, Benjamin, who is his full brother. But the other ones was by the other baby mamas. Can we talk this morning? Okay, well then let's talk about it. His father, Joseph's father's name is Jacob. Y'all remember Jacob? Jacob who wrestled with his brother Esau in the womb and stole the birthright from his brother. Y'all remember that? Well, you know, Jacob saw something he liked and he pledged himself to this woman that he liked. He was going to get her no matter what. And so he had to go encounter the father of this woman. Y'all remember the name? Laban. And so he goes to Laban. He says to Laban, I want your daughter. Laban says, okay, this is what you have to do to get her. And then Joseph does this for years. He tries to get this woman, her name being Rachel. Instead, at the end of him pledging himself towards Rachel, Laban tricks Joseph and marries him to Leah. Now, Jacob doesn't want Leah, right? Who he want? He wants Rachel. Now, that's mess already, because what you gonna say to your wife when y'all are sitting next to each other at the dinner table? You know, I really wanted your sister, but let's keep going on, right? So he gets on to the point, he marries, he does what he has to do, and sooner or later, Leah dies, he's able to marry Rachel. In this text, Rachel is dead as well, but we know that Rachel then births his son being Joseph. Y'all talk back to me if you know the story. And so as he is birthing Joseph, because Joseph is the son of the woman he really loved, he favors Joseph. What happens when he favors Joseph? Well, he gives Joseph this robe full of colors. He tells Joseph he loves him. In fact, the Bible tells us that Joseph loves, Jacob loves Joseph more than any of his other sons. Now, how many other sons? Whether there were 12 in all, 10, and the 10 brothers that came before the other two, here in the text, don't really like Joseph. They're mad. And Joseph doesn't make it any better. Joseph has a dream. The dream basically surmounts to, you're going to bow before me sooner or later. He tells that to his brothers. He tells them, sooner or later, I'm going to be in a position where you're going to have to kneel before me. Well, they already don't like him. They're his stepbrothers. And not only that, but Joseph comes back with a second dream, and he says the exact same thing, but this time he's dealing with the stars, and he says to his brothers, listen, you're going to bow before me. Now, there's something you ought to know. The brothers dislike him so much as his father kind of disowns him as well by saying, listen, that ain't right what you just said. And I know you ain't saying that me and my wife are about to bow down to you, you know, whatever. Okay, so the brothers plot against their younger brother. What do? They want to kill him. And it just so happens that the oldest brother says, no, not kill him, just throw him into a hole. So they throw the brother away into the hole, and then they're going to finish the job later. The only reason why Joseph escapes is because there's a caravan that comes by and snips him away. He's saved because some people found him. Can you imagine the hurt that Joseph would have had? Can you imagine now, so many years later, that was 17 when that story happened, so many years later, Joseph is now in a position where he has to forgive his brothers. Well, he doesn't have to. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. How do you know it will work out? How do you know that the circumstance will change? There's a few different things, and I'll be out of your way. The very first thing that I want you to know and how you can assure yourself that it will work out is found in verse 4, part of what I just said. I want you to know that in order to allow God to work the things out in your life, you don't forget, you forgive. You don't forget, you forgive. Joseph acknowledges and confronts his brothers and what they did to him in verse 4. He tells them that he could have done something, right? Now, let me show you how he says that. But before, I want you to just realize that Joseph, he forgives. This is how I know. Joseph is now the number one or number two man in all the land. He's number one when it comes to Pharaoh court. Pharaoh trusts him with everything. That means Joseph would have had his own bodyguards, his own secret service. Joseph would have had the police around him. Joseph would have been secure. Nobody can touch Joseph. And in this spot that Joseph finds himself in, his brothers come in. They can't get close to Joseph unless Joseph says, come close to me. Joseph could have kept the barrier up when talking to his brothers. He could have told them to stay exactly where they were. He could have played the position card on his family. But instead, he says he wants them to come closer. This is an acknowledgement that he could have kept the barrier there, that he could have kept them away from this forgiveness that he's going to give to them. But he acknowledges when he does that, he tells them, I know that you have thrown me away. I know you meant me harm, but come close to me. Come close to me. And by the words of his mouth, Joseph changes the narrative of what was blamed to forgiveness and prosperity. He changes what could have been condemnation to something that was forgiving. By your words, you can change people's lives. You can change the circumstance of people's lives in front of you. And it will work out if you just, if you forgive. You don't have to forget what people did to you. Forgive. I was on TikTok, Trey, a few weeks ago. And on TikTok, there's this app, you know, social media app, short videos. There was this story that many of you know that happened 67 years ago, the summer of 1955 in the state of Mississippi. You know that story? The story of Emmett Till. And Emmett Till, who was from Chicago, was visiting relatives in Mississippi. Now, he had went to the store, to the local place, to the hangout, and he sees, allegedly, this woman that he would whistle at. Happens to be a white lady. She takes offense. She goes home. She tells. And then they come to get Emmett out of his uncle's house and do all kinds of disastrous things. One, they kidnap him, they torture him, and they lynch him in 1955. You know the story that was trending on TikTok? The woman that supposedly said that Emmett whistled at her now is saying it was all a lie. On the story of Emmett Till, it was replaying to a new generation 67 years later. And that generation, our generation, is just as upset, just as bothered as many of you would have been back in 1955 when it happened. Here's the thing. You don't have to forget. You have to forgive. Now, I'm not saying that we are in the position of forgiving Emmett Till's accused person. I'm not saying that we should do that. What I'm saying is sometimes in life you can hold on to something for so long and it does you no good only just to harbor on that hate, on that malice of what people have done to you. The best thing that you can do is forgive. And here Joseph is teaching us that things will work out if only you would forgive. It does no good to harbor on, and I get it. You get that. Don't forget the hurt, the maliciousness, just forgive. The next thing, and then I'm almost done, is I want you to know you have to forget your plan and follow God's. There are some things in your life that you wish you could have done. Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph was locked in a cell. This is another part of the story before our text. Joseph is locked in a cell with two people, one of which can really change drastically the circumstances of where Joseph finds himself. And this person says, I've had a dream and I don't know what to do with it. And so Joseph helps him interpret his dream. Later on, he finds out that this man works in Pharaoh's court and has influence. And so he can go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, listen, I know a man who can tell you about your dream, who can interpret the dream that you have been struggling with. What happens? It took 2 years. And this is all I want to say. Joseph requested that this man go back and tell Pharaoh so that his circumstances, Joseph had a plan on getting out of jail. There are some things that you wish you could escape from. There are situations you wish you could leave. There are places in which you wish you could get to. Your plan sometimes does not align with God's plan. And here's what I want to tell you. All things will work out if you follow God's plan. Sometimes our plans are lesser of what God has planned for us. You were hoping for this little raise at your job. You were hoping that you would get into this school. You was hoping for this relationship, not knowing that God had a better job, that God had a better school, that God had a better relationship waiting for you. And if you just remember to forget your plan and follow God's plan, it will work out. Because listen, God's plans can't be changed. God's plans cannot, don't fret when people question your aptitude. Don't fret when people question your prowess or your pedigree. Work hard, be prepared, and smile at your haters. Because through it all, if you just trust in God, it will work out. Last thing, and I'm done. You need to know, in order for these things to work out in your favor, to have this assurance that your future is fixed and favored. In order for you to know that it will work out, know and recognize in your heart that your future is fixed and favored. Joseph acknowledged in verse 8 that his future was a focus of God's plan, that God had Joseph in mind when God was designing the footsteps of where Joseph was going to go. God had Joseph in mind. Take out Joseph's name and put your name there. God has your future in mind. I just told you that when God sets a plan, it can't be changed. So therefore, you know that when God has your future in mind, your future is fixed. Can't nobody change it, but not only is it fixed, it's favored. That God always meant for Joseph to be where he is. God always meant for Joseph to land in the situation that he's in. If you read to chapter 37, you'll say, how is this going to work out in Joseph's favor? How is it that at every turn, Joseph was going to endure hardships? How at every turn did Joseph, amongst all of the people faced with all the hardships he's going through, make it out? Y'all remember the story about his coat and then being thrown into it. And then you remember he was sent to jail. And not only was he sent to jail, he was working for Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife had her eyes on Joseph. And Joseph said, I don't want you, woman. You ain't no good. You ain't no good. She says, well, I want you. He said, no, you my boss's wife. She goes, tells the boss that he said he did want her. And so the boss throws him away, right? He loses his job. If you think about that narrative, then you will think that everything in Joseph's life is going to be on a downward spin. And all I want to say to you this morning is maybe you are in a position where you have to look at your hurt and you have to look at your past, and maybe you're still in hurt right now. It will work out. It will work out. How do I know? Because in Genesis 50, at the end of this story, Joseph says something to his brothers. He says, look, what you intended to hurt me, what you intended to do for me for the worst, God meant it for my good. What you use to persecute me, God was using to shape me, to toughen me, to strengthen me. And all you got to remember in your hurt is that it will work out because God favors you. How do I know God favors you? Because in Corinthians 2 and 9 it says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. There is no searching in the hearts of men the things which God has prepared. You can't change what God has for me. You can't take away what God has for me. And in the end, it will work out. It will work out. Our children are getting ready to go back to school. Some of them have already started. Teachers are back in the classrooms. There are principals and superintendents trying to come up with strategic plans. But listen, no matter what they plan in the schools, no matter what people outside of the walls plan to do harm, when God favors you, everything will work out. Parents are worried about their children. Parents are worried about what's going to happen this semester. Is my kid going to be safe? Is my kid going to prosper in the new areas of their life? Turn it over to God. And in God's hands, it will work out. We can prepare to sing. Our deacons can get ready to come. Let me share one more story with you. I didn't ask permission, so I'm not going to give any names. I was told about a situation at a school this past week about a child who was being bullied by classmates. Racial hatred. We don't know whether the parents or not insinuated the hatred. We don't know what kids are being taught at home. But you better believe they're being taught something. And here's the thing. The child was maybe 7, 8 years old. 9 years old, maybe. And here's the thing. As a parent, as an administrator, as a teacher, you put yourself in situations where you think you're helping, but you just don't know. You don't know how the circumstance is going to turn out. Here's what gives me assurance. Here's what ought to give you assurance. You may not know, but you know who holds tomorrow. You know who shapes the future. And if you turn it over to God, if you trust that through God's favor, not favoritism, through his favor, it will work out. It will work out. That's what our children need to know this semester and the semesters. It will work out. No matter how many tests you fail, no matter how disobedient or many times you get sent to the office, no matter how many things arise, it will work out. I'm a witness that it'll work out. And I offer that Christ to you. I offer Christ to somebody here who's on the edge, who doesn't know if it's going to turn out well. Deacons and greeters, come. Church, just sing that with us as we offer Christ to somebody who needs to know it'll work out in their favor. Ebenezer, would you stand as we sing together? We offer Christ to you.
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother.
We offer Christ to you, oh my sister. You can come.
He will give you brand new life.
Life abundantly.
Life abundantly.
So come.
Oh, come. Yeah.
Sing it again. Come on.
Come on.
To Christ.
To Christ.
I don't want to rush this moment. Would you sing that again, Ebenezer? There's somebody here that needs to know it will work out. If you know Jesus,
offer Christ to you.
Oh, my brother.
Oh, my brother.
We offer Christ to you, my dear sister.
We offer Christ to you. Oh, my sister.
He will give you brand new life.
He will give you brand new life.
Life abundantly.
Life abundantly.
So come.
Oh,
praise God. This morning online, and you also want to know that your life will get better, that it will work out, all you have to do is go to belong or email us at belonging@ebc3austin.org. Someone will reach out to you. We will make sure that you have somebody to disciple you through this process. Praise God. Praise God.